Amen. Oh my, that was rough right there. It was rough in a really good way. Wow, standing up is hard, but it's all good. You know, Alan went out east, Refuge Ministries. We prayed for him, and he's got some newsletters talking about what happened out there. So you want to talk to Alan, and you know, just he'd love to share with you what happened there. So connect with him, you know, before you leave. All right? Isn't he good? All right. Praise the Lord. Look, I'm going to try and share some stuff with you. Is that okay? Wow. Shuba. Shinga denge. Hallelujah. If you're not feeling that, just say, I'll have what he's having. All right. Hey. Hey, Janet, you're here. Hey. Janet's here. Joshua's out ministering. Come on up, say hi to these folks. You haven't had a chance for you to say hi. Now, these guys have relocated to here, back home here, and so we're just really glad to have them, but it's it'd be good for you to know that and say hi, huh? So come on, say hi.
Hi. Oh, it's so amazing here. Doesn't this feel like home? It's because it's the realm of eternity. It's the realm that you've been born from. It's the realm that you're destined for. And I'm just, my love tank's overflowing, just seeing just the worship, Carly and everybody else. Thank you for bringing heaven into this place this morning. Are you writing songs? You gotta write songs, honey, because there's so much within you that he wants to release. It was so beautiful. And then just to see Pastor Cheryl just moving, I'm just brought to tears, because this is home. This is the body. This is what it's supposed to be like. And I'm so thankful that God brought us back home, that God brought us here. Thank you. Here I go. If you know me, I'm full of rivers, and they often overflow, and I'm not ashamed of it. We were in BC for a few years, and we have a place in U.S. Ministries in California, but God just brought us home here this summer, and we're so glad, because this is where all of our family is. It's where most of our friends are, most of our support. So God's blessed us. He's given us a home here, and we're setting up. It's taking us a little while, but we're getting there. And we just got home from South Africa. We've traveled to about 65 nations. Just me and my husband, God tells us to do something, we just do it. And so we've done some crazy things, and we love it. And so we just got home from South Africa, where just when I think I can't love anymore, a new nation has been placed inside of my heart. And we've seen 60 to 70 leaders come, and we got to pour into them for a week. 60 to 70 leaders from all over Africa. People that... I can't even imagine how they live, because, you know, guns are put to their head in the Congo for what they believe in. And they came to just receive from us. Such a humbling experience to pour into them and to just release the glory of God into their lives. And just saw so many people within South Africa just ignited. You know, when the glory comes, illumination comes. It's like the light comes on. Your true identity comes alive inside of you. You realize who you are and what he's made available inside of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. His miracles, his signs and wonders are already within. Just have to realize it. Have the revelation of it and receive it. Because he's given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. It's just a matter of receiving the revelation of it and receiving what he's already given to you. So we're so blessed. We're so thankful. Glad to be home with my kids, my wonderful parents. Stayed with our kids for about 18 days. And so God bless them. I'm sure they're glad we're home. But we're so glad to be here. Thank you.
So pray for these guys. Hey, they're this is home. You're the family. So pray for them. They got an extraordinary ministry, and they need your love, your care, and your support. So just remember them whenever you can. Amen. All right, let's go through this. I'm going to just try and do this. We'll see what happens. I'm a little loopy, but that's okay. All right, so let's go. We're talking about doors. We're going to talk about the fourth kind of stage in this whole thing. I'm loving the way God led, and even the timings of it. It all seems to be kind of prophetic in nature, but here we go, right? Number one, we wanted to talk about I am the door. And if you're going to navigate any doors in life, if you're going to experience anything that's good or anything that God intends for you, you have to navigate the first door, which Jesus said, I am the door. And there's such a blessing in engaging him and understanding the safety, the security, the strength of what it is to be connected with him as your Lord, your Savior, and your divine shepherd. Acts chapter 2:47, the Lord added to the church. So, you know, you're never really going to realize your full potential. You're never going to realize everything that God has for you if you're not hooked up in community. Because right away, people got saved. They got born again, and immediately the Lord added. Say the Lord. The Lord added to the church daily those who are getting saved. Saved people get added to the church. If they've successfully not done that, it's because somehow they're being disobedient, because God always adds who he saves to the church. And church is a called out group of people. It's people who come together, gather under the headship of Jesus Christ. So you got to get plugged into that relationship. Community is really the vehicle that causes you to be everything God wants you to be. Then last week we talked about shutting doors. You got to shut some doors. And the one door you really need to be able to navigate and shut. But when you pray, go into your room, it says, and when you have shut your door. And shutting your door doesn't have to be a physical door, and it's not your room or place in your house, but there's a place in God. How many know there is a place called in him? There's a place called in the Spirit. There's a place called in Christ Jesus. In that place, you got to learn how to get in there and shut the door. It's not a place where you visit. It's not some destination you check out every once in a while. Psalm 91 says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's not your secret place. It's his secret place. It's the secret place of the Most High. Don't try to drag him into some little silent place you've created, but go where the Father is. It says, go where the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father sees in secret. That's where he sees. See, he's seeing. He's looking in the secret place. He's looking in that place. And when he sees things in the secret place, when you engage him in that place, it says what happens in secret, where he engages you in secret, he will openly reward you. Very important. So you got to know how to engage that door, how to shut other doors, how to shut the door on that realm so you can engage with God and stay constantly, continuously in the realm of his presence, living, breathing, and walking out of that. Can I get a thank you, Jesus? That was good. That was good last week. I don't know if you thought so, but I did. I enjoyed it. It was good. I'm telling you. All right, we're going to talk about some other doors. We're going to navigate another door today. Hosea chapter 2, verse 15 says, and I will make in the valley of Achor, which is the valley of trouble. Achor is that place where Achan, you know, rebelled against God and decided to keep some of the stuff for himself. And that place was a place of judgment. It was a bad spot. It was a difficult and a hard place. It was a place of trouble. But here's what God says, even in that place, even if you find yourself in a place of, it was abject disobedience, or you think you're in the worst spot possible, God says in that place, he says, I will make a door for you, and it'll be a door of hope in the valley of trouble. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad there's no place where you can't experience that there is a door of hope for you to step into everything that God wants for you? So in every situation in your life, every place you find yourself, God has provided doors of hope, and you got to know how to navigate and walk through and activate those doors of hope. Luke 11, 9-10 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, say everyone. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. Door of hope. You got to navigate these doors of hope. They are there for you. And when you're in that place and you learn how to exercise that asking and that word and using your voice to access those places, you're going to experience the goodness of God. Hebrews 11, 1, and this is from a translation by a guy named Darby. And he says, now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for. See, faith on its own, it has to be connected to a desire. Faith is generally connected to something that you're passionate about. Are you passionate about anything? Is there something that you hope for? Is there something that you're passionate about? Is there a breakthrough that you desire to see? Is there something where you are fixed on and you like know of certainty this will come into manifestation? Well, faith is how you substantiate those things. Faith is how you bring into manifestation those things that you hope for. It's the conviction of things not seen. There are things in the unseen realm that I want to bring into manifestation, and faith is how I bring into expression. Faith is how I navigate that door of hope. Faith is how I walk through, come out of that place of trouble, and walk into and experience everything that God wants for me. So we got to learn how to do that. Substantiate means to make real or concrete. You got a hope or a dream. Well, faith substantiates your hope. Faith brings it into expression. Faith takes it out of the unseen and brings it on the scene. So you got to know how to do that and how to bring into reality a substance. And you can do it. We walk by faith. This is the power that overcomes the world, even our faith. I mean, faith's a powerful, wonderful thing, and you need to know how to exercise and release your faith. Hope, the word elpis means, hope means this, a joyful, a confident expectation of good. So I hope pastor doesn't go too long today. That would be a false hope. But I tell you, there's a hope that you can say, I have a joyful, confident expectation. It's not, I hope God shows up. I hope God shows up. Hallelujah. It's a hope where you know and you're able to lay hold of. There's something that's built in your imagination and a sanctified place of your spirit to see something and put an expectation that is going to be a reality. I'm going to see that. Can I get a hallelujah? All right. So that's that kind of hope. It's a door of hope. Now, faith works. How does faith work? The word says faith works by believing and confessing. Mark chapter 11, 23, 24, and you shall not doubt in your heart, but you shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. You got to believe it in your heart, but you see, nothing will come into manifestation unless you say so. You got to say so. See, you know what was going on today? It was a whole lot of say-so. You know what's happening when we worship? We are exercising the door of hope. We are passing through into another realm. We are exercising our ability to declare, to speak. Like Cheryl said, I love what Carly was saying. Like, there's nobody else has a voice like me. Nobody. And God made it that way because God's got precious, wonderful things for you. And you see, your voice unlocks things in the supernatural realm. Your voice is your destination. It's your address in the spirit. Your voice is where you live in the spirit realm. God finds you in the spirit when you speak and you declare. And you see, it says that you got to believe in your heart. It says, Romans 10, 8 and 9, with the heart you believe unto righteousness, but if you're going to get the salvation, if you're going to get the manifestation, it says, with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. So bringing what you desire into manifestation, getting your mind lined up, getting the right thoughts and the right picture, that's wonderful, that's believing right, but then to get what you're believing right to come into expression in your life, you have to, with your mouth, you got to speak. Speak it and you got to say it. It's really important. You can't go, I hope so. You got to speak it. You got to come in alignment with what God says. And then you got to proclaim it. You got to say something. Are you ready? Psalm 100 verse 4. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates. Man, if you're not coming with thanksgiving, you're not going to get in. You ever had somebody open a door for you? What do you say? Thank you. So you gotta enter his gates with thanksgiving. You gotta approach these doors of hope with thank you, God. You, God always provide. You open a door of hope in a place of trouble. You are always doing that. Even if it's my place of trouble, even if I created the trouble, even if God got myself here, God puts a door of hope in a place of trouble. If you read Hosea in the context of it, literally these were people who were rebellious and they were running away from God, and God says, I'm gonna allure you, I'm gonna hedge you in, and I'm gonna bring you into a place where I can make room for myself, and I'll put a door there. It's a door of, and you'd think it must be a door of destruction. It's a door of hope. It's a door of hope. Isn't that great? There's a door of hope in front of you right now, today. And some of them you got to run at. Even if you think it's closed, run at it, because it's a door of hope. And while you're running, just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell you, you'll come through the other side into an incredible breakthrough. It's a sad thing, but believers don't know how to navigate doors of hope. They don't know how to get out of the place of trouble and get into the fullness of what God has for them. Now, that little picture on the top is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's called hey. Say hey. It's the fifth letter, hey. And that is the pictograph of the fifth letter. And many believe that that's actually how the original Hebrew language started, was with these pictographs. And so you can look at the Hebrew dictionary and you can see that there's pictures, and then they moved on to some cursive writings of Hebrew. But this was the first one. And what I love about this one is it's like a person with their hands up. Hey. It's like, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Whoa, that was good. Yeah. Do you see it? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Woo! Hey! And that's the fifth letter of the alphabet, and it corresponds with grace. It corresponds with come forth creative realm. Come forth creative realm. So let's move on. I know that was exciting. It's good stuff. Now, Kenneth Hagin, I love Kenneth Hagin, but Kenneth Hagin passed away now, but what an amazing, amazing teacher to the body, gift to the body, prophet to the body. Kenneth Hagin said, when you believe and you speak, you open the door to the supernatural. When you believe and you speak, you open the door to the supernatural. And if you're in a place where you feel pinched in and only God can get you out of the mess, you're in a good spot because he provides a door of hope in a place of trouble. And you know what? You got to believe and then you got to speak. And that opens the door to the supernatural. How many want some supernatural on their natural? It's all about believing and speaking. You see, you're believing today. You start singing that song. You know, you start declaring these things. I love songs that declare how awesome God is. And you start to do that. I start to step into that stuff. And I'm like, my God, I got to come back a little bit because I got to preach in a minute. But it's like, I'm lifting off. I'm leaving the building. Glory to Jesus. I mean, I'm using the door. I'm out of here. Woo! I mean, it's an amazing thing to get into praise and get into worship and just step in the realm where God is and feast on his goodness. And you see all the incredible favors. You're like, man, this is paradise. You know, it's stepping into that, moving into that realm. Hebrews 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession, or the authorized version said your profession, Christ Jesus. Consider it. He is, what is it? Christ Jesus is the high priest of. He literally is the bridge. He is the carrier. He is the one who mediates your confessions. That's what he does. You see, and he wants to mediate. He wants to bring you into. He wants to be your intercessor. That if there's a gap between his fullness and where you are right now, he wants to mediate that gap. He wants to bring you. He wants to fill that gap. And he wants you to catch up to be where he wants you to be. And he's your high priest. He's your mediator. But what does he mediate? He doesn't mediate your thoughts, your grumblings, and your foolishness. He mediates your bold faith confessions, your big, bad professions. It's your agreements and your belief in God is good, and he's never going to change. And his doorway and his access and everything before me, it's full of his favor and his goodness. You got to navigate that with your words. You got to use your words. Turn to your neighbor and say, use your words. Faith confessions create reality. Faith confessions create reality. Faith confessions create reality. Now, next slide. Here you got September 24th, 2014. We've entered into this year 5775. 5775. That's hey. And then the cursive writing is Zayin, Zayin, hey. Hey, Zayin, Zayin, hey. What year is it? Hey, Zayin, Zayin, hey. Ha ha! Man, that's awesome. 5775. Five, grace. Five is a type of grace. Five is come forth. Five, the word hey comes from a combination. It's actually on the next slide. Let me just finish this now. It's the revelation of grace leading to double crowning, which causes us to lean more into grace. That's what it is. It's a revelation of grace, which leads to, Zayin is, it's like the cursive writing. It's like a crown. So it's like a double crowning. This year is not just crowned with favor, it's double crowned. It's a gracious year of the Lord our God. It's a year of his favor where the unmerited favor of God isn't just pouring out one portion, but it's pouring out double portion and is pouring out to crown you, to make you doubly blessed in double authority, double power, double for your trouble. Hallelujah. All right, give me another slide right here. See, Yod, it's Aleph is the first, in the alphabet. It's the first letter in the alphabet, Aleph, and most of Aleph is made up of Yod. There's more Yods in an Aleph than it's Yod, but Yod is one, and it often is used for God. Aleph is often a prefix for all the names of God. El, Aleph, Yod, Yahweh. It's awesome. It's all about God. It's all about double favor, double blessing, supernatural power. So you get the hey. The way we get the hey is God adds himself to four, which is brokenness. Four, it leads to that place where he is, the four is added to the delet. The delet brings forth a hey. That's how you make the hey. But the hey means that God adds himself to man's brokenness, which leads to a supernatural expression of grace. So we're in the fifth year. This is a year of supernatural expression of grace. Supernatural expression of grace. It'll crown you. And it's double, double, double. Notice I said it does look like somebody praising. All right. Let me give you the next verse here. You ready? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. I love this, and this is a post-exilic prophet as well. This read the vision of the double spouts coming and being poured and being caught, the flow of oil from the olive trees. And he's asking, what is this? What is this? And he said, for who are you, O great mountain, human obstacles? Who are you before Zerubbabel? Now, Zerubbabel was in the line of David, and Zerubbabel represented the kingly line. Now, he is the king of kings, but look around. Are there any kings in the room today? He is the king of kings. Who are the kings? Turn and point to your neighbors. He's talking about you. Says that he has made you a royal priesthood. He has made you priests and kings of the Most High. You see, he is the king of kings. And you see, what are you, O great mountain, in front of the line of David, in front of this royal tribe? What are you in front of these kings who've been given authority to reign and rule in the earth? What are you, O obstacle? What are you, O mountain? When you think about it, any place where you've had trials or difficulty bringing through the promise of God in your life, this is a year where the grace of God is in a double measure going to be released, and you're going to be crowned and crowned to bring forth His purpose in your life. This last year was a year of the open door. This is the year of everything coming through the open door. You going through open doors and Him coming into your open doors. This is a year of double, ridiculous prosperity and blessing on business, on people, on life, in your circumstances, to your mountains. You can say, grace, grace, and they'll be interested. I mean, Bernie didn't even know what I was preaching on, and she said, I saw a vision in the room, and I saw a deep place, but I saw the mountain being turned upside down and thrown into it. It was leveled, and there were resources. That's what I'm preaching on. You, with loud shouts, you're going to say to the mountains, grace, grace, and they'll dissolve. They'll be gone. Yeah. So it's a little bit of prophetic fun today, but it's also talking about the door. This is a dear year of experiencing the coming and goings in the doors. Him coming in bigger ways than you've ever known, but you going through into bigger places where things seem closed to you. They're going to open up to you. Believe it! Believe it! Oh, don't believe it. Believe it! Even you people there out in camera land, I can see you. People from all over the world right now. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. It says, and that shall be brought forth the finishing gable, the stone, the new temple. It'll be brought forth the loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace. 5:5. Hey, hey, come forth that creative realm in your life and in your experience. All right. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans 4:17 says, we call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. Abraham, if you study Abraham's life, he wasn't a saint. And he didn't catch God's eye by being a saint. It says, we call Abraham father not because God got his attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was nobody. God made something out of Abraham when he was nobody because Abraham dared to trust God to do what only God could do. You got some stuff in your life that only God can do? Believe it. Believe it this year. Believe it right now. I think even the significance of the lift in the worship we experienced today is because from this day on, I will bless you. You've stepped into a new season in a realm of God. There's an expectation. God is coming through in bigger ways than he ever has. You know, you can always have that. As an individual, you live under an open heaven with God. There's nothing that can restrict you. But in the corporate seasons and timings of God, there are timings in God where he manifests himself in specific seasons. There are times of refreshing kairos moments on God's calendar, seasons where he expresses himself in the earth in more powerful ways. And I believe this is one of those seasons of better than ever before. New, wonderful, creative, and excellent. All of that stuff. All right, I'm going to have to settle myself down. I won't settle myself down. You need to cheer up. All right, give me another verse. Romans 4:18 in the same context. It says, Abraham, contrary to hope, he hoped. I mean, contrary, I mean, what he was seeing was contrary. I mean, he's old, he's like 100 years old, his wife's like 90 years old, and, you know, God's saying, you're gonna have kids, and he's like, oh man, I'm telling you, that ain't gonna happen. But contrary to hope, he hoped. Contrary to hope, he believed. In the place of trouble, in a place of frustration, in a place where he's not able to manifest the promise, he didn't grumble, get frustrated, and complain. Actually, he did. He said, God, where's the kid? He said, I am your great reward. I am everything. It's me. It's the Lord. And he said, where's the beef? Where's the kid? Where's the promise? And God came and he said, I'm going to shift something in your life. I'm going to do something different. But contrary to hope, in hope he believed and he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Say spoken. According to what was spoken. You see, God visited him and he said, you're going to have a child. He's like, here we go again. He said, no, I'm shifting. It's time. Something's happening right now. And he changed his name. Now look at this right here. Look at this little slide. All right. Here it is. Now God came and he breathed the fifth letter of the alphabet into his experience. Say five. Hey. Say hey. Hey. Very important just in the context. I've heard this before. It has to be said right now, prophetically, in the context of the year we're stepping into. Has to be said. You see, Abraham moved into a place of being able to do what he couldn't do in the natural. Abraham got supernatural on his natural when God came and breathed into his life this whole gracious expression. So literally, he took the fifth letter of the alphabet and he changed his name. Now you would think, God changing his name with one little letter, that changed his life? No. Because we could just change our names and, you know, just let's add hey to all our names and supernatural our lives would be different. No, that's not how it works. See, you know what really changed? Was the next day, after that word that was spoken, the next day he got up and he didn't say Sarai, he said Sarah. The next day when Sarah got up, she didn't say Abram, what would you like for breakfast? He said Abraham. And see, it changed because they changed their language. They changed their speaking. They changed and they began to speak in agreement to what was promised. It wasn't that God changed their name that did it. It was that they agreed with the change. It's that they agreed with what God said. It's that they came in alignment with, he said, we're going to see it. And they woke up the next day and forever, they changed the way they talked to one another. And they spoke grace over each other. They spoke grace to their situation. And they brought forth the supernatural, creative realm of God. What could not be done except through God. He stepped up in the realm of God. A man believed like God, lived like God, spoke like God, spoke to things that were not as though they were. And they came into manifestation. It would not have changed if the next day they said, that was funny. Wasn't that funny, Abram, him trying to change our names yesterday? They agreed with it. They embraced it. And they began to live it out. You know, they didn't get the manifestation till later on. But they began to act. And they began to believe. And they put themselves where God said they were. And that's what you got to do. And that's what this season is. That's what we're stepping into. That's how you open doors. That's how you get through these doors of hope. Look at the next slide here. You know, it says, I believe it was manifest because they begin to speak and they begin to do that. Now, David spoke so much about worship. David was one of these guys who knew how to exercise doors. He's one of these guys who knew how to bring the power of God and the grace of God into situations. I love when he went against Goliath. It says, then David said. Say, he said. He said. See, if David would have gone, oh my goodness. You know, David won the victory because of what he said. David couldn't defeat Goliath. But he said, look what he said. He said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Right there. Never run at your problem with your mouth shut. Never run at your problem with all kinds of vowels and consonants going, I'm going to kick your butt right now. You ever heard some stains are so bad you got to shout them out? You come to me with this, oh, I come with you, but I come to you in the name of the Lord this day, I'm telling you, this day, me, this little scrawny kid with a slingshot, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deal with you. The Lord's going to deliver you into my hands. Woo! What do you say? I don't know. I tell you, it's been rough. The devil's after me. I tell you, it's confusing. What do you say? David, David had a whole bunch of, the people who came to David were in debt, discontented. They were all the D's, all the ugly stuff. But it says when they came to David, they turned him into the army of God. Why? It's because they embraced the principle that David lived under. Praise God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his presence. He knew how to put a demand on it. He knew how to get heaven. He knew how to get the super on his natural and live out of that realm. He knew how to open doors of hope and bring an expression to the supernatural in his world. And all those people are saying, I'm so burnt out. I'm so done. I'll try anything. My life is such a mess. I mean, man, let's go to this David guy. And they learned the principle. And all of a sudden, people who'd never done anything with their lives before, suddenly they're killing giants because they stopped hanging around with doughheads and losers. They started to attach themselves to giant killers. They started to change their language and change what they were saying. And they spoke to doors of hope and they opened up and they walked into the supernatural things of God. All right, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Just saying. All right, let me give you another one. You ready? Come on. Here, this woman with the issue of blood suffered for 12 years. I mean, she embraced the same principle. When she heard, you believe it in your heart and you confess with your mouth. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him and in the crowd and she touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She heard, she came, she said. Have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard about how awesome he is? You know, you got to come into agreement with that, and you got to say that he loves you. He spoke incredible, gracious words over you. There's no mountain before you or no obstacle that you can't introduce to him. And I tell you, especially this year, you should be lifting your expectation and your hope really, really high, because he's about to do incredible things. Give me another person. You ready? Matthew 15, 21 to 28. There's a Syrophoenician woman. I mean, outside of the context of the parameters of Jesus' calling and ministry, but she said, I'm going to get me some. She said, it says she came and she worshiped him. She came. She needed a breakthrough. She had a demon-possessed daughter and she wanted to get a breakthrough. She was in a place of trouble, but she knew there was a door of hope that she could open. She knew that even in a place of trouble, God always puts a door of hope. So she said, I'm going to exercise that door. I'm going to step through into a realm. I'm going to experience the fullness of God. God will close the gap from where I am to what it should be, and he's going to do that when I access this door. And so she went, she cried out, said, she came and she worshiped him, saying, you know, and she was ignoring him, and then they saw that he was ignoring him, so they thought, well, I guess she's being a nuisance. They're like, hey, lady, get out of here. What are you doing? And she said, no, hang on. And he turned and said, look, it's not your time yet. I'm only sent to the children of Israel, so sorry about that. And she said, well, even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. And he went, wow. He said, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. I love the message, the way it says it. Your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. Your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. What do you want? What do you want? I mean, what's that aching in your gut? You can't sleep at night. You don't know what's going on. There's things out of order in your life, where you are and where you believe you should be. There's a gap. It's not anybody else's fault. It's not even your problem. Just stop it and open the stinking door. Well, there's no door in this place, I tell you. I'm looking around and I just frustrating trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. Okay. A woman, great is your faith. I mean, she used her words to express her faith. Yeah, one more. Just one more. I think it's just one more. Yeah, here it is. Acts chapter 16. This is one of my favorites. I love this one. I mean, here they are thrown in jail. They go into the city, have an amazing revival, but they cast a demon out of a girl who's basically a fortune teller, and she becomes useless to her bosses, so they get mad and they throw them in jail. But here at midnight, say midnight. That means when it's really dark, it's bad. This is the darkest spot right now. I mean, it's ugly. Here we are at the dark, dark spot, the most difficult time. And before they got thrown in there and put in stocks, they were whipped and beaten. Say whipped and beaten. And these people knew how to beat people. This was not like, oh, before we lock you up, just go, okay, we're going to lock you in there and put you in. I mean, these people are whipped bloody. And I mean, they didn't send a doctor in later and say, well, I'm just going to bandage you up before we lock you down. I mean, they're just a mess. They're down there. And trust me, there were rats crawling, eating the flesh off their backs. Now, I would be going, ah! But what were they doing? It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They're praying and singing. They were exercising the door. They're going, you know what? There's a bad spot right now. We better get the door of hope open right now. Come on, you ready? You ready? Join with me. Let's exercise our authority right now. Let's pray. Let's open that door right now. Let's get ourselves out of this mess. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you that there's a door. Thank you that you're working for better. You're a wonderful God. You're a great God. There's nothing too hard for you. Woo! Hey, remember that hymn Jesus used to sing? Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Whoa! And they're singing, they're praising. Look what it says. It says, and the other prisoners were listening. So you know what? It wasn't just, okay, quietly, let's sing together. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Do you see a door yet? No, nothing yet. Kumbaya. They were singing so loud, it says the other prisoners were listening. Not that they could hear them, but they were listening. They were listening. And then, Suddenly, the door of hope went swinging open. Suddenly, it was such a powerful opening in the spirit realm that caused an earthquake. Such a powerful visitation of God that suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. What's amazing, it's a powerful earthquake. Everything got shaken, but nothing fell in and nobody died and all that stuff. But that's a miracle in itself that the whole place shook, rocked, and rolled. It was great. It was violent, but everybody's okay. But what did fall off was everybody's chains fell off, and not just a door, but all the doors were open. Don't you know when you get your breakthrough, other people are going to get their breakthrough? Don't you know when you exercise your door, when you step through the door of hope, that you're not just going to get through, but other people are going to see, and they're going to come through. Other people are going to experience victory and experience a breakthrough. It says all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And then the jailer came down and said, oh my goodness, he was going to kill himself. Paul said, don't do that. And the door was open for salvation for his whole household. Thank you. A couple of amens there. A couple of grunts. Can I get an amen here? An amen there. An amen. Another amen there. Whatever. Amen. 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 Sold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. One more slide. You ready? 5775. A year of double double. I'll have a double double. I'm going to have a double double this year. Double sloppy gooey grace, crowned with power, authority, might, majesty, and strength. Completeness, excellence. Ha ha. It is a year crowned. It's a year for crown ones to rise and speak grace. Grace to every single obstacle. Every door, every trial, every situation you're in, God always has a door of hope. And you know what? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I give you glory, Lord. I thank you that you never fail. And you start confessing his word over you. I thank you, Lord. The doctor said that, but I thank you. By his stripes, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a whole bunch of healing songs. I'm just going to put them in the CD and play them over and over again. Woo! That's how you're opening that door into your life. And you do it. Well, but nothing's changed. It will. You start singing. This is an eternal principle. You will always get broken through. You got to believe it. I'm telling you, you got to believe it. God's not up there going, you know, I wish somebody'd say thank you. But, you know, thank you opens doors. Thank you. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And when you practice a lifestyle of that, you're going to experience in every situation where there's trouble, you say, there's a door here somewhere. I'm just going to exercise it right now. And you're going to live in constant breakthrough, constant blessing. Well, how do you do it, Pastor? Grace, grace. Not work, work. Grace, grace. Well, I got kind of a scratchy throat. You know, I just don't feel like shouting at anything right now. Smarten up. I tell you, shout at your situation. Demand it to change. Speak what God said and he will bring it past. Be like Abraham. He's the father of all of us. We're faith people. That's because he started doing the God kind of stuff. He started speaking those things that weren't. And in Corinthians it says, I have the same spirit of faith, therefore I speak. The spirit of faith speaks. Speak to your troubles. Speak to your situations. Come on, stand up right now. I want to speak. I want to speak. I want to speak right now in Jesus' name. Right now. Right now, you're got a sickness issue in your body. I want you to speak to it. All right now, right here. Yeah. I want you to speak to it right now. And I just simply want you to say this. Grace, grace. And I want you to say it just in just faith. Just in real faith. Maybe you're going like, wow, how could that change the thing? I'm telling you, is this the word of the Lord? This is a season of grace, grace. And just like Zerubbabel speak grace, grace to the mountains, you can experience breakthrough right now. There's healing in this realm. There's healing in the glory. There's a breakthrough in the glory right now for you. And it doesn't have to be ooey gooey goosebumps or funny crazy things. It's just very, very simple. If you believe it in your heart right now, God's for me. He loves me. He's spoken words over me of hope and a future. There's a door right now. This is a place of trouble. I'm very straitened right now. I can barely even lift up my head to believe. But right now, I believe that his word, he said, he will put a door of hope in this place. Look, there's a door right now. There's a door. And if you can't see it, doesn't matter. I just want you to say, grace, grace, right now. Now just receive right now. Just receive. The door's open, the mountain is melting, the obstacle is going. Just say it again. Grace, grace. The curse was taken by Jesus so that you can have his life. Right now, the curse has to leave your body. leaves your body right now. The mountains are melting in your body right now. Sickness is leaving your body right now. It has to go. Sickness is leaving the building right now. In every way. Grace, grace, right now. Arthritis goes. Cancer goes. It goes right now. It goes right now. Your situation isn't too big for God. Believe this. Believe this. Abraham's situation. I mean, he's way beyond the years of having kids. But you know, Abraham woke up and he said, grace. His name was changed. Grace was added to his life and he had to confess it. Now you confess it. Grace has been added to your circumstance right now. Are you ready? There's an obstacle. There's a difficulty. It's very real. But there's also a very real door of hope right now. A very real door of hope. Are you ready? Grace. Grace. Now enter his gate. Say thank you. He opens the door for you. Oh, thank you. Don't mind if I do. Thank you. Thank you. We speak grace, grace right now in Jesus' name. Grace, grace. Now just one more thing with all your heads bowed. Just want to quickly. Is there anyone here you don't know Jesus? You've never even accessed the door of Jesus. He's my Lord, my Savior right now. If you don't know him, I'd like to pray for you before we go. So I'm just going to quickly, I'm just going to 1, 2, 3. And if you don't know him or you want to know him, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up so I can see it. Nobody else is looking around. It's about you and God. It's about him wants to introduce you to his wonderful grace for your life right now. And if you say, Pastor, pray for me, all you got to do is put your hand up. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Put your hand up really high so I can see it. Really, really high. Really high. All right, we got to bring more friends to church. All right. Now, I'm just going to ask those people that are ministering at the altar to come on up now, and those people who are scheduled to pray for people and minister to people. And you may have a situation, and you just really want somebody to identify with you and pray for you and minister to you. You know, there's a lady in here that she had masses in both of her breasts, and they were dark and they were black. It didn't look good, but she came to this altar right over here, got prayed for right here, went back to the doctor, and they were gone, totally gone. If you weren't here last week, she gave her testimony. You don't know how good it is to go find out. I mean, she prayed, then she went back to the doctor for another set of tests, and they said, we're not sure what happened, but that's gone. It's all gone. You know why? Because it was grace, grace. And these people are ready to minister to you, to pray for you, and introduce your mountain to the grace of God. So you can be healed today. You can get a word today. You got an obstacle. There's something before you. You can get ministry today. Introduce that mountain to the vastness of God. Are you ready? I'm going to bless you and pray for you. We need to get out of here and watch the Cowboys win again. So, amen. Well, Father, I love this house. I love your presence. I love the season we've entered into. I love this season of supernatural double-doubles. Supernatural double-doubles. Supernatural crowning and supernatural grace. So, Father, we enter into this year with incredible hope and expectation. We thank you that you're opening something vast. The things that we thought were shut, the things we thought wouldn't be open, they're going to open to us this year. Because you've crowned this year with favor and with your glory in a big way. So, Father, I commission each and every one of these to go in your favor. I loose them with the knowledge of your wonderful love, Father. I command the rich grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be lavished on each and every one. And Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, thank you for your partnership in every episode of life. I commission them to go and demonstrate your kingdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on up. The altars are open. Come on up. There's a cup mixed for you. There's a cup of blessing right here. There's something for you. Come